of years ago, we found ourselves driving back to Iowa on a hot August day. It was an unexpected trip because we were driving back to Iowa to go and to bury my grandma Betty. She had lived the last 40 plus years of her life in Boulder, Colorado, but her final resting place was to be a small cemetery near the family farm that is still owned back in Iowa. We had a lovely graveside ceremony there at the small cemetery nearby. And then after the ceremony, the family began driving. Now, I wasn't quite sure of what was going on because we were making left turns and right turns. And if you've ever been driving in Iowa cornfields, it's just grids. And you turn left and right and left and right on all these farm roads. And suddenly, we stopped in the middle of the road, pulled off to the side. And my Uncle Dick climbed out of the car, and my Aunt Jane and my mom and the rest of us grandkids and great-grandkids piled out after them and started walking in the cornfield. We weren't quite sure where we were going or what we were doing, but we followed them. And then suddenly they started pointing. There's where the house used to be, where we grew up there. And a little ways over there was the barn. You had to walk a ways, and over there was the barn, where the barn was. They were pointing to various places back on the family farm where they had grown up. The buildings weren't there anymore, but they started telling stories about what it was like to live back there on the farm. And I asked, I said, well, how do you even know we're at the right place here? They said, well, this is our land, and those are our trees. They knew by where the trees were, where their house had been, and the barn, and the various other important landmarks of their childhood. These buildings did not remain. They had been torn down decades earlier because they had begun to fall down, and we grandkids couldn't quite see what my mom and her siblings saw in their mind's eye as they recalled the stories from their childhood. Truly, the saying goes, you can never go home again. As God's people, the people of Judah, were coming back to their home in Jerusalem and Judah after 70 years in exile, away from their land, they learned this same difficult lesson, that you can never go home again. God's people in Judah, 70 years earlier, had been overcome by the neighboring superpower Babylon. Babylon had come and taken over the land of Judah and had scattered all of the people who lived there into various other foreign lands. It was part of their system to keep rebellion down. If you uprooted people, displaced them from their land, displaced them from anyone they knew, and made them start over again, then they would not rebel against your empire. As generations passed, people began to assimilate into the life that they were living there in exile. There were a number of generations, as we were just talking about in the Kids in Christ time, after 70 years, there's a number of different generations that have started to pass. And yet, even in the midst of the exile, there were those who longed to go back home again. The elders of the people who had once lived in the land and wanted to go back, and their descendants as well, who had heard the stories about what it was like when the great temple of Jerusalem was there. And so they too longed to go home again as well. God had made a promise through the prophet Jeremiah that this exile would not be a permanent exile, this time displaced would not be forever, but that the people would come home again. And so after 70 years, God keeps God's promise. The superpower of Babylon is overthrown by a new superpower, the Persians. And their new king, King Cyrus, had a new leadership style. Instead of wanting to try and displace the people, he decided that happy subjects are subjects who follow. And so instead, Cyrus issued a new decree, Cyrus said that all the displaced people could go back to their homes again, that they could rebuild their homes, rebuild their places of worship. And God's promise came true. God had promised when the people went into exile that they would come home again. And after 70 years, God keeps that promise and they come home. Now, not everybody came home because 70 years is a long time to be away from your home. And so many people stayed where they were. But a small remnant of the people returned back to Jerusalem to rebuild their homes and rebuild their place of worship. When they get back home again, it was different than they thought. We hear their response to what happened when they got back home again in our words from Ezra today. We hear when they get back to Jerusalem, they start to rebuild the temple. And there are shouts of joy praising God. God, you have kept your promise. We are home again, giving thanks to God. And yet, you can never really go home again. And so in the midst of this joyous shouts of praise to God, there were also weeping, cries of weeping. Weeping from the older generation who had seen the temple in its former glory. And now all that was left was gone. Maybe a few foundational walls. They saw how much work was left to be done to restore the temple. And they knew that it would never live up to its former glory. And so they began to weep. Cries of weeping, shouts of joy, all mixed together as they come back home again. As we enter into this holiday season, as we begin to enter into this time of many departures and arrivals and people coming home again, many times we too find that there is a mixture of joy and weeping all together. We find in this holiday season that people may be arriving here. People may be having family coming back to Colorado, home again. And others of us may be leaving to go back to see family in other places, returning to former homes. As we prepare for the season, many times we prepare to spend it with friends and family near and far. Departures and arrivals. Oftentimes there's a lot of anticipation as we prepare for family to come or as we prepare to go visit family or friends. We imagine all the wonderful things that will happen when we're together. And yet when we're truly honest about what our time is like together, I have to say, at least for me, there's oftentimes a little disappointment rolled up in there as well, because things never quite go as I had hoped or expected or anticipated. And so we find that many times in this holiday season, we are filled with joy and disappointment, weeping and happiness, all mixed together. And this is how things are oftentimes in this world that we live in. Joy and sorrow, weeping and happiness, all mixed together. And yet, as part of this Advent season, we acknowledge and recognize that there is another home that we are waiting for. We are waiting for our heavenly home. And we look to the time when Christ will come again. Christ has come to us in Jesus. And we proclaim that Christ will come again, just as God has promised us. God promised the exiles long ago that they would return home again, and they did. And God has made a promise to us that Christ will come again. And when Christ comes again, there will be a new heaven and a new earth, and all things will be made new. We hear these promises that come to us in the book of Revelation, chapter 21. As we see here, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. a new Jerusalem, a Jerusalem that outrivals any Jerusalem that has ever been. Only joy, no more weeping, because it says we hear a loud voice from the throne saying, see, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things have passed away. And the one who was seated on the throne said, see, I am making all things new. And so in this season of Advent, we long for this time when God will make all things new, when he will wipe away every tear from the eye, and there will be no more mourning or crying or pain anymore. When the exiles returned from Jerusalem, returned to Jerusalem, they longed for that Jerusalem to be like the one that had been. But it never was. Because you can't go home again. We long for the new Jerusalem, for our final home with the Lord, just as the Lord has promised. And this home will be better than we could ever expect, anticipate, or even imagine. Because truly, that home is with the Lord. And yet, in this time and in this life, the place that we find home is not a place at all. It's being with the Lord. Our earthly homes change, and sometimes may even be dilapidated, run down, or even knocked down eventually. Our ideal pictures of the holiday season will ultimately disappoint us. Our homecomings, our departures and arrivals will be filled with joy and maybe a little weeping. And yet in the midst of all this, we hold fast that the Lord brings us home. The Lord is our home and makes his home in us, bringing us peace and patience and joy now, and trusting in the promise that the Lord will bring us to our heavenly home where there will be no more tears or death or mourning or crying or pain. God kept God's promise to the exiles to bring them home again, and God will keep this promise to us that God will come again to make all things new. And so in the meantime, we wait and we hope, placing our trust in the one whose home is among mortals. Back on that farmland there in Iowa, as we looked out across the landscape of rows and rows and rows of corn, with a few trees scattered here and there as landmarkers, we took a handful of my Grandma Betty's ashes that we didn't bury at the cemetery, and we threw them in the air, returning them to her earthly home, back to her farm in Iowa. And we, as we scattered those ashes, we sang of the promise that God gives to us, I'll fly away, O glory, I'll fly away. When I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away, rejoicing in the promise of God's heavenly home. Amen.